You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Praise the Lord. Well, this is Pastor Donna, and I'm blessed to be here on WCNO, and I thank the Lord that they brought in all the money that they need for this praise next God. Season. Praise and God
great
for that.
Miracles.
Yes. Miracles. God is a miracle-working God.
Yes.
And we're here with Coach Tony Bishop and Bill Nickel.
Nickel.
I'll get it right. And Pastor Jonathan McLean. And I just thank the Lord for their love for the Word and that they want to raise the standard. They're part of raising the standard, and that's what we need to all be part of, raising the standard. Amen. I just want to give a little report about my husband. He did go back in the hospital and came home for one day. And then he had to go back the next day, last Sunday, but he is doing well. They're regulating the medication so that his blood pressure doesn't drop when he stands up to walk. And so he's feeling more encouraged, and I'm praying that he will be out of the hospital in a very short time, just a few days,
yes,
and right. back home again. But we still need prayer. We always need prayer. And it's interesting. This has been a long trip for us, over 3.5 months. And, you know, sometimes people think, I heard people say, oh, I heard he was doing better. And, you know, I think we slack off on praying when we still need to continue to press in. Because, you know what, when we slack off many times, we can maybe even open a door for the enemy to come back and you know, continue to do his work. But we know that we have all authority and the power in the name and the blood of Yeshua, of Jesus Christ. So I just would ask you to continue to pray for us, because going home and the rehab at home is, that's, you're not in the hospital with all the nurses and the aides and the people to help you. And so, you know, I don't want to say it's scary, but it can be, it's still
a little daunting.
It's still work, isn't it? And
yeah.
We still need the prayers and the prayer covering. So we all need to continue to pray, one for each other, because we are the body of Christ. And so as we pray for each other and lift up each other, we know that God hears our prayers. Sometimes we may not always feel it, we may not always see it, but we know, we have to know that God hears and answers prayers, you know, and we call out to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So I just want to thank you all for your prayers. I'm continuing to believe that he's going to raise up, and he's going to be able to continue to do what God has called him to do and has called myself to do. And, you know, we're still on Raising the Standard Radio. So please keep us in prayer. I know many of you listen to this broadcast, and you may not always support it, but your prayers are a great support. We're not here for the money. We're here to send out the Word of God and the Word of Truth to the body of Christ at the best of our ability, with the Holy Word of God, with no compromise. See, we're to stand together as one, because we are the body of Christ. We're one. We are one in Yeshua. So I just thank the Lord. We're going to talk about prayer, And I'm going to ask Coach Tony to start out. And I know that we all have something to say, and we're going to share it, what the Lord would lay on our hearts about prayer, because we're coming up to the National Day of Prayer. It's not that we just pray on the National Day of Prayer. No, prayer, our prayer life is every day. But this is a corporate thing, and thank God it's our nation has put it in place, and our president as well. So we need to always pray for our president, because you know we are living I think we're living in end times, and in the end times we really must come together, and we must be the body that God has called us to be. I think about when we have Shabbat on Friday, we always have communion, and we use a matzah. The matzah is a square piece of bread. It's unleavened. It's like a cracker. And it has holes in it, like Jesus was pierced. It has stripes, like he was bruised. And, you know, it's one whole piece. It represents Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And what do? We each take a piece of that. And so we are each have a piece of his body, but we're all the body of Christ. We could never try to put that piece of matzah back together. We can never try to put it all back together like a puzzle. No, it wouldn't work. But each one, someone might take a bigger piece and someone might take a smaller piece. Doesn't mean that one person is more important than any other. No, we're all the body of Christ. We're, you know, the body. It doesn't matter what part of the body. The Bible talks about the body, doesn't it? You know, the toe or the head. You know, one may be an apostle, one may be a prophet, one may be an evangelist, one may be an intercessor. Well, to me, the intercessors really aren't even seen many times. And some people think they're an apostle, but you know, the apostle is the foundation. Everything is built upon the apostle, and the church has gotten away from a lot of the things that the Bible says. And we need to come back to the roots. And that's why Pastor Gene is so strong about teaching the roots and the Jewish roots and going back to the things that Jesus said. Because during this time that we're in right now, the timing of counting the Omer, that is coming up. It comes up to Pentecost, and we're very close to Pentecost. I believe it's May 20th will be the 50th day. That's when, during those 40 days before Pentecost, before the 10 days that Jesus told them to wait and tarry, because they were going to be endued with power. They had not been endued with power. The Holy Ghost had not fallen on them yet, had not touched them. The fire had not come to them yet. You know, I wasn't even going to talk about this, but just like, hallelujah, and God is just wanting us to know what he wants to happen. He wants his people to be filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. And the fire of God is what's going to cause us, is what's going to push us on to even praying without ceasing, to even groaning in the spirit, to even travailing. No, people don't do that anymore, very few, maybe some do. But we don't see those intercessors. You know, they're like the ones you don't see, and they are so important. They're so important. They're more important than I am. They're more important than maybe the pastor or the teacher or the prophet or the apostle. You know, we need all these. We need the fivefold ministry. To teach and to train and to raise up the body of Christ. It's the body of Christ that needs to be raised up. Those of you who are listening, because you're the body of Christ. And so every single person is a minister. Every single person is important. And every single prayer that we pray to God, to the Father, in Jesus' name, it will hit the mark. If we pray by the Spirit and we hear from the Spirit, we know what to pray. We learn what to pray because we listen to the Father. We listen to him. We don't just pray and just pray and just ask for this and ask for that. But we pray in the Holy Ghost, and the Father hears us, and he will give us the command of what to pray for. And so when we do that, you know, it will hit the mark. It will go back to the Father, and the Father will send it to where he would have it to go. But it's knowing the things of the Spirit and what Jesus taught them during those 40 days. He taught them so many things about the kingdom of God, and he told them to wait and to tarry for the power. And that's what we need. The church needs the power of God. Amen. Tony?
Well, you reminded me of Acts 1:8 just now when you said that it says, "And you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you." Prayer, what a fantastic subject we're talking about today. We are sad to say that, at least I should say for my own self, I don't pray enough. Prayer is one of the most powerful resources that God has given to all of his children. And the scripture says that we have not because we ask not. What an opportunity to go into the presence of God and understand that he covets that time with us. He desires that we would spend that time asking of our Heavenly Father. Wow, that's so beautiful. That just that the thought of that, Jonathan, you're smiling. I see you understand what I'm saying. Jesus himself, when I read the scriptures and about his lifestyle, his life, much of it...
Life of prayer.
...is a life of prayer. He was constantly going to the Father, consulting with the Father. And, of course, we know that beautiful time that he had, that intimate time that he had with the Father just before he was about to be arrested to go to the cross for your sins and my sins, because he was praying for the salvation of the world. We all know John 3:16 so well that it doesn't, I don't need to repeat it. But the idea that God loved us so much that Jesus prayed in the garden for sinners such as me. Wow, that just gets me so excited to know that there is a God who loves us so much that he would endeavor to pray for us even while we were yet sinners. He still chose to go to the cross, knowing who we were. I'll just be honest for a minute, how despicable I am. And even so, God's love is so great that he chose to go to the cross. Salvation is something that is essential. There are many people who pray, but the Bible also says that God does not hear the prayers of the unrighteous.
That's right.
He hears the prayers of his children. And as he hears the prayers of his children, he tells us, as his children, I say us because I know I'm one, and I'm confident that we all in this room are one. We can come to him anytime, any place, and we can ask anything of him. And if that doesn't get you excited, I really don't know what's wrong with you folks, because there is hope in the scriptures. And I'm learning, Bill, I'm learning more and more as I get older and older, have a deeper walk with the Lord. I'm learning the importance of praying the scriptures, because when we speak God's word, his word will not return void. He will honor his word. So if I want to know what the will of God is, if any of us want to know what the will of God is, we need to spend time speaking his word. And God's greatest will for us, for the world, is that the world would come to have a saving knowledge of him, not just to make him Jesus the Savior of the world, but your own personal Savior, and make him the Lord of your life. When you have that combination, when you're totally surrendered to God, wow, watch what God will do in the life of a repentant heart, one who is fully surrendered to him. That's exciting to me. I know I've been living that for many years, even though I have many stumbles and falls, but what a loving, gracious God who's always there to pick us up.
Amen.
And to dust us off and to put us on that solid rock, on that solid ground again, and
glory,
to bring us into that wonderful joy of being in his presence. And he attentively hears our prayers, and he answers them according to his perfect will.
You know, the Bible says, Jonathan, that we're to pray without ceasing. Well, how do you do that? Do you have an answer, Pastor?
Well, this whole area of prayer, it's interesting because God has laid this on my heart that we would not only as a church set aside the first 40 days of the year to find some way to fast and pray, which this is our third year to do this, but that we would continue, that I personally would continue, and that I would call the church to a year of developing our prayer life. And in the process of that, you know, you're talking about praying without ceasing. Well, I can tell you that I know far too little of that, but I can tell you a little bit about the journey. I found my notes going back to 1986 when I began to prepare to speak to the church. And these notes are not something that I am excited to share, because it's what the Holy Spirit said to me. And what the Holy Spirit spoke to me was, you have become more acquainted and intimate with the historical, traditional, and theological aspects of religious knowledge. You become more acquainted with those things than with me.
Wow.
Than with my, with a relationship with God. And I realized exactly what God was saying. You know, you go to school, you take tons of classes, you study all kinds of things, you do Bible studies, you prepare to speak, you prepare messages, you prepare word studies, you do all these things. And the Holy Spirit was saying to me, I want for you to go beyond information. And God began to just deal with me about this, that so much of the communication I had was information, it was not impartation. And then God began to speak to me about intimacy with Him. I've called you to be more than a man who prays. I want you to become a man of prayer. Learn to walk with me. Learn to dwell in my presence. Just as David said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And these are things the Lord began to put on my heart. Learn to practice the presence of Christ. Mm-hmm. Learn to practice my presence by never being insensitive or separated from my Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Learn to practice my presence and to pray without ceasing by being sensitive, by becoming more sensitive, by having ears to hear what the Spirit would say. Mm-hmm. And so I had looked at that, praying without ceasing, as my part of praying without ceasing. And what the Father spoke to me was, I want you to be a listener. I want you to be listening without a time of ceasing. Amen. Because so many times we think, well, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. How can I be in prayer? Well, prayer's not just talking, it's also listening.
That's right.
Amen.
And so in my personal journey with God, it has been to spend that quiet time before anyone else is up. That, to me, it's the highest quality time in my day, just as Jesus did, alone with God, and to seek to be in His presence and to move from His presence and keep that awareness of His presence as I step into the day. When God created Adam and He spoke to him, in the morning, the evening, He spoke to him in the cool of the day.
Yes.
And I know that God wants to do the same thing with all of us. He wants for us to be available when His Spirit comes seeking to commune with us. And this is something that I'm on a journey to learn more about.
Amen. I'm thinking about what you're saying, though. Praying without ceasing, because I had some difficulty with that too, because like you said, you're busy, but you know, we can always pray in the Spirit.
That's right, we can.
And a lot of people are really, I don't think they, maybe they don't, but, or maybe they haven't been baptized with the Holy Spirit like they did on the day of Pentecost. But it's for everyone. It's not just for just pastors or a few people. It's not for, it's for everyone. It's a gift. All the gifts of God are, They're for everyone. They're not to be left in a box or left. It's not just a special thing for certain people. No, it's for the gifts of God. They're not taken away. It's a permanent thing. And I think about the scripture where it says, likewise, this is in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We don't know how to pray many times. We don't know how to pray. We don't know, you may not know how to pray for Pastor Gene. And I tell people, and when we're in sharing in church, and you know, pray in the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost knows exactly what everyone needs. He knows what somebody might need. And in Russia right now, I read some things about what there's about the Christians in Russia, what they're doing. Well, there's the president over there. We need to pray for him because he claims to be a Christian. But what are they doing over there, trying to stop the Christians and trying to make laws and legalize different things and make it hard for Christians? But when you pray without ceasing, and you can pray in the Holy Ghost, that's why it's so important. And I really would say, you know, if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you need it. We all need that fire of the Pentecost. But when you talked about, you said intimacy, I remember Pastor Gene teaching on intimacy, and he says, he had like a little acronym for it, into me see, mm-hmm. into me see. So we need to see what God wants us to pray for. It's what God says. So it says here, likewise, the Spirit, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Which cannot be uttered. So, and we can receive that intimacy and that heart of God, where we can have those groanings like they did, I guess, back in the early days, mm-hmm. you know, when they had all the things back in the 1800s and all, you know, people were really praying.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's almost like prayers become modernized. God doesn't modernize things. Things are the same. You know, even when God spoke to Moses was around that burning bush with those animals, I'm sure, many times. But until he looked and he saw, and then that's when God spoke to him. So praying is so important. And
Donna, when Jesus was in the garden with the disciples, and he is at the most intense spiritual moments of his natural existence on this earth. And at that place, the disciples were so caught up in the natural weakness of the flesh that they missed the opportunity to discern the things of the Spirit. Jesus went to Peter and wakes him up, you know, and endeavors to get him to pray that he would not enter into temptation, you know, and Jesus goes back to pray, and goes back, and they're sleeping, and goes back to pray, and goes back, and then he says, sleep on. And how many times have we been more in tune to the weariness, the weakness, the exhaustion, circumstances, the things that are going on in our life?
Mm-hmm.
And when we get to that place where we are not aware of what is taking place in the Spirit, we become exposed to the enemy's attack in a way where we are vulnerable. And this is, Jesus knew exactly what was going on. He knew exactly what was going on because he had been spending time in his Father's presence. And so he came out of the Father's presence. He understood exactly what his mission was. He knew exactly that what was going to happen in the garden. He understood exactly what was going on at that moment in history.
Yes.
And so many in the church, they are totally asleep. They have no conscious awareness of what is taking place in the Spirit. We are spiritual beings. We're spirit beings living in this physical house. And this physical house that I have, Bill, would like to dictate and limit who I am in the Spirit. But the Spirit of the Lord wants for me to be disciplined and to spend the time with the Father and to know His presence and to discern what the Father is saying and what the Father is doing. Did Jesus not say, I don't do anything of myself?
That's right.
I only do what my Father's doing. I only say what my Father's saying. I'm only here to do His will, nothing else. That's all I'm here for. How can we ever come to that place if we do not pursue the Father on the kind of level that Jesus did? It was in the Father's presence that He came out of His presence, and He took that anointing as He went into the marketplace.
Well, and Bill, I know you'll have something to say about this. It is so important that we understand that you said it a moment ago, Jonathan. Prayer is not just us blabbing off what we want, what we need, what we think, but it's also, it's a two-way communication, allowing God through the Holy Spirit to speak
Minister to us.
Yeah. And that is so important. What do you have to say, Bill?
Well, the first thing I'm noticing is that our stories are very similar. As we mature as a Christian and get closer and closer to Yeshua, to Christ, we learn to speak all day long to the Holy Spirit. It's, for me, a constant conversation. I'm trying to draw on His help all day long, little decisions. And I actually, when I'm having difficulty doing something like repairing my car, mm-hmm. I have had the experience of asking the Holy Spirit to help me.
Amen.
Help!
And I will swear right in front of these wonderful people here, it actually works.
Yes, it does.
So for me, being in constant prayer is just thinking about God. There you are. What do you want from me now? When do I do this? When do I do that? And I'm not talking about taking a tissue and asking God, now do I blow my nose or not? But what do you want me to say to my wife? Does she need to, I try to read how she's doing during the day, and I ask for an appropriate comment about how she looks, make sure that she's having a good day, things like that. For me, that's very, very important. I try my very best not to be constantly focused on me, to focus as much as I can. And I am a very selfish human being, and I pay a price for that. So I, as a retired teacher, I set up formal stuff. And I have a few points that when it's my turn, I'd like to go through. But as Pastor Jonathan said, there's a quiet time that you need with God where you just sit there. And prayer goes both ways, as already has been mentioned. You talk to Him, and He will talk to you. He will talk to you. Many instances of people that I work with, and I'm not sure I should mention names, but they're famous. They've written a lot of books. And they hear an audible voice. That has not yet happened to me. But God will speak to you. But you need to be alone, and you need to just listen. And He will, He gives me visions. I write them down because I don't really believe how detailed they are. And I wait for those visions to play out, and it happens. And my wife's ministry and mine are very much based on that. So I'm doing my very, very best to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, and it's working.
Yes, it is indeed working.
And you know, the Holy Spirit speaks different ways to different people. Mm-hmm. Visions, dreams, you know, the Word of God. And I just, over here in 1 Timothy, it says in chapter 2, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. So, and we're going to talk about kings, presidents, and different, and you know, different people. It goes on to tell us that. Who will have all men to be saved. We're praying for salvation. You were talking about salvation, Tony. And to come into the knowledge of the truth. So we want the truth. And so, like Pastor Jonathan said, if we just need to come, you know, you just need to come to say, Father, I'm here. I'm here. I want to sit before you and come into thanksgiving like David did. Read the Psalms. See how David prayed. You know, give thanksgiving. And it may be tough. Things may not be so great, but give thanksgiving to God because He knows all things. He has the answer to all things. And then, like you said, Jonathan, you sit and you listen. And when you sit and you listen, or you pray in the Holy Ghost, and you know, many times if you pray in the Holy Ghost, God will now give you the interpretation. He will speak to you, and you will get. The Bible talks about in Corinthians about. I will. There's I think five I wills. I will pray in the spirit. I will pray in the understanding. Well, it's praying in the spirit. It says it's first. It says I will sing in the spirit and I will sing in the understanding. So when we come to God by way of the Holy Ghost, by way of the Spirit of God, it's not just our mind praying. It's our spirit and our heart joining up with the Father's heart. When we have a heart, when we join up with the Father's heart, then he's going to speak to us. He hears us. He will speak to us. Yes, Tony?
Yeah, you touched on something a moment ago when you said that there are times when you don't know how to pray or what to pray. And I know I've been there on many, many occasions, too many to count. But what I love what you said from Romans 8, where it says that the Holy Spirit will give you the unction, the groanings, and so on, to allow you to help you to pray. And then, Bill, you said something about just trying to figure out how to fix something on your car or whatever. And, you know, a lot of times we think that we know, we have a good idea. And oftentimes, if you're like me, you get ahead of God and you say, oh, God, I have this. I don't need to pray about this.
A lot of times, yeah.
Philippians 4:6 has been a tremendous comfort to me, 4:6 and 7. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication.
Amen.
Make your request be made known unto God. And I love the 7th verse. The result as of doing that says, and the peace of God. That's what I'm praying for all the time. When I'm praying that God will give me peace. I'm praying that he'll give me wisdom. I'm praying that he'll give me understanding. And the 7th verse of Philippians 4 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding. It's kind of like one of those things like, wow, when all else fails, pray.
Yes.
And then you see the results of God doing a great work just because you prayed, and you think, silly me, why didn't I do that in the first place?
Glory to God. I'm going to go over here to where I mentioned about the praying in the Spirit. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it's one of my favorite chapters after the love chapter. But, you know, without love, all these gifts are to no avail, because love, charity, the King James Bible uses the word charity, and that means that's a very special love between brothers and sisters. It's not just a certain different kinds of love. You know, it's a very special love between brothers and sisters and for the church and for the body of Christ, you know. But it says here in 14:1, it says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts or spiritual things. Gifts is italicized, but rather that you may prophesy. And of course, you know, when you're praying in the Spirit, anytime you're going to get a prophetic word. And you talked about simple things. Like if you say you're looking for something in the house, several times I said, oh, I wonder where that's at. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will just, I mean, I don't pray in tongues for that. I just may say, I wonder where this is at. God knows everything. And all of a sudden, I just hear, oh, go look here, and there it is.
Yeah, he helps you.
He helps you. He helps us with everything.
You know what,
everything.
Donna, some people think that you're nuts, or we are nuts when we talk like this.
Right.
But let me tell you, we need to acknowledge that it is the Spirit of God that makes us so much better than we could ever be.
Yep.
The things we wouldn't know, the things we wouldn't know to do, the mm-hmm. things we wouldn't be able to locate, and the situations in our life that are so orchestrated by the Holy Spirit, many people think, wow, I was just really lucky. No, I'm not lucky.
Right.
I am anointed of God.
Amen.
And the blessing of God is on our lives. And God speaks into our lives and leads our lives as we're sensitive and we seek his face.
Amen.
You're saying something when you say people think that we're nuts because...
Yeah, they do.
You know,
the Bible does say we're peculiar people.
Yeah, we yes, are.
We certainly are.
That's okay.
We have sure a tendency is. To, wow, they pray about everything? You don't. Well, like you said, you don't have to pray whether you blow your nose or how to blow your nose and that type of thing. But what an exciting thought that the Lord allows us to bring any and everything to him, and the Bible says that he is attentive to the cries of his people. He's listening attentively to hear what our concerns are for our hearts, and he desires to answer those prayers. And I'm just excited to know that at any time, anywhere, under any circumstances, that I can go to my Heavenly Father. I don't tell the story too often. I never had an earthly father. And so as I was growing up, And as I started coming into a relationship with God, it was very difficult for me in the beginning to understand the concept of a father who loves you, because I didn't have that.
Right.
But as I started having a relation, growing into my relationship with God, wow. The thought that he will take you into his arms, he takes you into his care. And that's the father that I tried to be to my two children, who are both grown now. But I try to exemplify in their lives, and still, even though they're grown, I try to exemplify the attributes of God the Father, portraying that upon my kids. And what a beautiful thought that we have such a loving God that cares about us, every little meticulous detail, where he tells us in his word to be careful for nothing.
And right.
And we
and
can
everything.
Call upon him. And I'll just say this real quick so I don't take up too much time, but if you don't know how to pray, allow the Holy Spirit to come into your presence.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing about being crazy people and this and that, read Acts 1:8.
Amen. Or go read First Corinthians chapter 14.
Let me highlight Acts 1:8 while it's on my mind.
Okay.
It says this, and you
shall
receive
power
right.
when the Holy Ghost comes upon you.
And that's what we need. I've been in many, many
exactly.
prayer meetings, and you know, some of them are Holy Ghost prayer meetings, and then there's others that are controlled by men. And so when we are, because we don't want to offend each other, and because we're trying to do the not the God thing, but we're doing the man thing, and we're really out of order. We're not coming back to what God has says in his book. And why? Because of religion. Because of religion. And I know I'm probably rubbing some people the wrong way by what I'm saying, but you know what? I just have to read what the Word of God says. I'm going to read a couple of verses. I'm not going to read all of chapter 14. But I would just exhort you to go and read chapter 14. Read what you said about the Holy Ghost. Read the book of Acts, what happened. Read what. How are we going to get the power? How are we going to get our answers, our prayers answered? By praying by the Spirit, what God wants us to pray, not what we may want or what our agenda is or what your agenda is, but we need to pray by the Holy Spirit. It says here in 14 verse 2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. See, there's mysteries that God wants to speak to us. Amen? But he that prophesies speak unto the church. Well, I'm not going to talk about prophecy right now, but prophecy is very important. It certainly is. It says in verse 5, verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. That's true. In verse 5, it says, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. So it's, you know, when you speak in tongues, you can get the interpretation. It happens. It will happen. If you get to that place where you spend time with the Father and the Holy Ghost, you will, and you speak in tongues, you will hear from the Lord, and you will get an interpretation. And I always like this one. It says 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Well, unless you're praying in the Holy Ghost, and then the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Many times we don't know what the Spirit is saying, but we're praying in the Spirit, and God knows, and the enemy cannot interpret that tongue. It's a prayer language that you have, a special prayer language that you have with the Father and him with you, and you will get the interpretation. Of course, we know there's different kinds of tongues and interpretations, and I'm not talking about that right now. But verse 15 says, what is it then? It says, I will. We have a choice. We can will to do something. We know when you stifle the Holy Ghost and you choose not to pray in tongues, you're putting a roadblock. I feel we're putting a roadblock into the things of God. It says, what then? I will pray in with the Spirit. That was first. I will, or I choose to pray with the understanding. Also, I will sing with the Spirit. and I will sing with the understanding also. Now, many of you listening may not have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of praying in tongues or singing in tongues. And you know what? It's a simple gift. It's just like your salvation. It's free. It's free to everyone. And I want to tell you, if you are having problems, you have to get out of your mind, because it's not a mind thing. It's a heart thing. It's a Holy Ghost thing. It's what the Jesus went back to his Father to send the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And fire. That's why he went back, to send the Holy Ghost and fire to endue us with power from on high. Amen. And also it says that we will get the understanding when, and it's, you know, if people have a problem receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I think the easiest way is to sing. You just start singing hallelujah, and then you just, you know, the Spirit will start churning in you, and you'll just, and you will receive the words of the Spirit. And you might think it's silly, you might think it's foolishness, but you know, that's the power source that we have been given.
Well, Donna, you are saying something that may be very foreign to
a lot of people.
A lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But
Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all, didn't he?
I would challenge any of you out there that go get your Bible, dust it off, and go to the second portion, the latter half of the Bible, and turn, look in your table of contents or whatever, and find 1 Corinthians 13, and you will discover that that is in your Bible as well as in the Bible that we're reading here. So as to not to think that, well, we're some crazy, gooky people, that we're gone off on some tangent. So if it's in God's Word, I want to be obedient to God's Word. And I know for my own self, maybe I'm power hungry, but I want more power. I want more of God's power in my life. And so I encourage you, I challenge you to go and look it up in the Word of God itself, because this isn't some crazy, some silly thing that we're talking about that is only appropriate for a small select group of people. It is for all of God's people. And I'll just conclude by saying this before I turn it over to you, Bill. If you have a personal relationship with God through salvation, if you have totally surrendered your life to God, I believe that one of the great gifts that God wants to give you in return is the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. And I believe that that's so many of us in the church, in the body of Christ, are lacking, because we do not have the power of God operating in our lives. And it's largely in part because, oh, I don't really understand that stuff about what they're talking about. So therefore, you gloss over it, and you're drinking the milk of the Word instead of really feasting on the meat of the Word, where that's where the substance and the power and the energy and all those things. So it's really important that you read the entire Word of God and get with someone if you have a difficult time understanding. I was with a group that was studying the book of Revelation. A lot of people, let's not go there because we don't understand half of this and that and the other. But if it's God's Word, it has some importance.
And the Holy Ghost will show you. The Holy Ghost will show us. All right, Bill, I know you've got some things to share there.
Oh, yeah, more formal things. But I think going full circle back to what Tony started with is that, first of all, you need to be saved.
Amen.
And that's the most important step. And any of you who are out there who are not saved and you're wondering what in the world we're talking about, I know Tony wants to take care of that as soon as I'm done here. Once you're saved, then you can ask God for gifts. First is to be baptized in the Spirit, to make sure that the Holy Spirit comes in the moment you're saved, but then you can ask Him for those gifts. One of those gifts is tongues. And if you ask, He will give it to you.
It's free.
It is not, doesn't cost anything. It's free. It's a free gift. I know people are very, very, they're afraid of something free. I used to ask my students in class, I said, does anybody want a free gift? I have a free gift for you. Will you accept it? A significant percentage, usually 25 or 30% on average, said, it's got to be something connected to that.
Yeah, what's
You're
the catch?
Fooling me. What's the catch? Nah, I don't want that. Mm. And the free gift was watching the Peanuts Christmas Story. That's all I wanted them to watch. And it talks about, in Luke, about salvation. And remember, I'm working with kids. The vast majority are not saved. So don't look away from that free gift. It is right there. So it is important. Now, how you go about that is also very, very easy. But before I throw it back to Tony, Pastor Jonathan said something very important before we started. And he said that the Holy Spirit, that God was right in this studio while they were trying to raise funds to keep the radio station in the black. And when you have an experience with the Holy Spirit, it is it's beautiful, number one, and it's also overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It is just so comforting. But you don't want to do anything. You just want to soak it in. And I know that sounds a little strange and a little weird, but when you're done with the Holy Spirit, you are completely deflated, you're relaxed, and it is just a spectacular feeling. Now, these very mature Christians probably don't remember those first experiences, but I certainly do. But it is a beautiful and overwhelming experience, and He will teach you something every single time. So if Tony, how do you go about being saved for those out there who are not yet born again?
We all have to come to a point in time in our lives that we examine ourselves, and we have to acknowledge the fact that by our own sinful nature, we are sinners. We have separated ourselves from God. And as a result of separating ourselves from God, God didn't move. We're the ones that moved from Him. And yet He has such a great desire that all would come to have a saving knowledge of Him. But it isn't just a head knowledge, but it starts from the heart, having a change of the heart, where there is a point in time where we repent, we acknowledge the fact that we have separated ourselves from God. We don't blame someone else, but we look at ourselves as we are, and in doing so, it's a very simple communication, which is also known as prayer. And we talk to God and say, God, in your own words, from your own heart, you might say something like, God, I realize that I'm not the person that you have created me to be. You created me to have power. You created me to be the head and not the tail. You created me to walk in love and in kindness. And many of the things that perhaps you have a difficult time doing, maybe it's with a neighbor or with a spouse or a child or whatever, and you ask God through the power of the Holy Spirit to infiltrate your life, to allow you to have that patience and peace and love, the things that you know that you cannot do on your own. That is the power of prayer. And when you completely surrender yourself to God, He does the rest. You don't have to do anything else. A lot of times people will say, well, when I get my life together, when I stop drinking, when I stop doing this and I stop, just stop. Stop and start opening your life to the Lord and allow Him to do what it is that He says that He wants to do, because He wants to demonstrate His love and His power and His peace. You were created, even us as Christians, those of us who call ourselves followers of Christ, we were created to do good works. But in doing so, oftentimes, Jonathan and Bill and Donna, I find myself having to examine myself. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself to see if you actually are of the house of the faith. Yeah. And in doing so, I began to realize it's a lot less about me, or at least it should be a lot less about me, and it should be more about Thy perfect will be done, Lord.
Thy will be done.
That's what we're all about. We only have a few more minutes, and we have to make sure, Jonathan, that you tell us about the prayer that's coming up
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
His will, not my will, not what's most popular, but God's will. And when we surrender to His will, beautiful things happen.
Well, we have, do you have something else there you want to share?
Yeah, I have a lot.
You've got a lot.
I do something that's very formal. I feel very led to lead those people out there who are not saved in prayer.
Okay.
Since we're talking about prayer, if one of our pastors could just lead the people who are not yet saved and ask Christ into your heart right now. There's no time to waste.
Jonathan?
Bill, you can do it.
Hallelujah.
It's on your heart. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Bill.
You're anointed.
Oh, Father.
Hallelujah.
It is so, so important that the people who are not saved out there do something very, very simple.
Yes, Lord.
It is not difficult.
Jesus.
They need to realize that you love them, Father, that you want them to come under your wing. And if they would simply pray and pray, ask God into your heart so that He comes and lives in there. Mm-hmm. He will live there once you ask Him for the rest of your life before you get to see Him in heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
So you ask Him right now, say, Father, come into my heart. Dwell in me. I repent for my sins.
Yes.
I know that you will forgive me for all that I've done. I don't have to change anything at all. You'll accept me exactly as I am.
Thank you, Lord.
And you will train me. You will love me. You will change me to become a child of God. If you do that right now, ask Him into your heart, He will change your life, and He will take you on a trip that is the most exciting thing you have ever done. And I ask all the people who say that prayer and ask you into their hearts, Father, that they be saved now.
Amen.
Yes.
And forevermore, Father.
Save now.
We ask this in Jesus Christ's mighty name.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. And you know, Jesus is God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of people talk about God, but they don't forget about Jesus. Jesus is God. Jesus is the one who died and bled. Father sent Him to the earth for ours, that we might be saved. Jonathan?
Yeah, the cross and Christ crucified.
The cross, that's right. Indeed, it's all about indeed. The cross. Did you want to add something?
I would just like to, just for one moment, remind everyone that the National Day of Prayer is coming up.
Yes.
On the 3rd, and that's going to be on a Thursday, May the 3rd. And I know there are many great prayer gatherings. There's going to be one here in Stuart.
At the gazebo.
That is held annually at the gazebo, and that's at 12 o'clock lunchtime. And we would just encourage you to be involved, to be committed, be connected. And if you are able over the lunch period and you are in the Stuart area, it'd be wonderful to have you come along and be a part of that as the body of Christ gathers across our community. And then I would like to encourage you as families to come together with the body of Christ. This is a call to the Treasure Coast. And there are many pastors that are involved in bringing this together, but this is an evening family prayer gathering, and it's at the Port St. Lucie Civic Center. It's going to be at 6:30 on the 3rd, same day as here in Stuart, but it's going to be May the 3rd, that Thursday evening at 6:30. And we are looking to have an evening wherein what I would call it a chorus of prayer. We are not interested in having a production of prayer, in a performance of prayer. We are not interested in bringing the body of Christ together to listen to someone else pray. Mm-hmm. But we are, our hearts are burdened as pastors and leaders in this community for we as well as the body of believers to humble ourselves publicly and seek the face of God. Our nation is at a time of great opportunity,
yes,
but it also is at a time of great potential danger. We have
so.
A lot of evil that is seeking to take the stage, but let God arise. May God arise. May the enemies be scattered. The theme for this year's season of prayer, the National Day of Prayer, is unity. And of course, that covers the family, it covers the nation, it covers the church, covers racial unity, for us to just lay down. God help us to lay down the garbage that the enemy has put between us believe God for a miraculous intervention where there is an awakening by the Spirit of God in our nation to return to God, and there would be a brokenness, a humility, and that as we seek the face of God, that the church would lead by being humble, and we would be brought to new life by a revival.
Amen.
And so that's our prayer. That is May the 3rd in the evening, 6:30 p.m., and it's for the family. Bring the elderly. We're going to bring Papa. He is Papa's 93, going to be 94.
Wow.
Bring your babies. Bring everyone. There will be chairs set up. There will be lighting. There will be security. We will have various ones that are there to make sure that things are safe. But please come and be a part.
I pray right now. I'm sorry, Tony. I pray right now that Gene be there. I will bring Gene to this prayer meeting. Pastor Gene will be there.
Thank you, Lord.
I have to pick him up and carry him, because he is very, very important for
this
prayer.
Is
okay.
Amen.
And Pastor Daryl Orman has invited Pastor Gene to pray for Israel, for the United States, and for the embassy at the 12 o'clock prayer here in Stuart. Praise God. We're just running out. I was going to read the prayer that Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 6, but you can all go and read the Lord's Prayer. Amen. Well, this is Pastor Donna and Pastor Jonathan and Tony.
Well, let me just say, go out of your way if you have to, but get there to one of these prayer groups.
Yes.
Go out of your way. Don't be a bystander. We want to go out of the way so the world out there, what are all those people gathered around for?
That's right.
They're gathered around to pray? Well, let me get in on
it. I'm sure there's a lot everywhere. Palm Beach, I'm sure everywhere. Jupiter, all over. Wherever you're hearing this Ready to Go broadcast from, there's going to be prayer throughout our nation.
Praise God.
We all must get involved, and we must all pray and humble ourselves, as Pastor Jonathan said, and seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek him while he may be found. Because our nation is in dire trouble, and our president needs our prayers. And I just thank you all for praying for Pastor Gene and praying for me as well, please. And we want to raise the standard. And part of it is seeking the Lord and praying and interceding for one another, because we love the Lord. So I say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace to everyone. Be blessed. And we love you. And God bless you. See you again next week, Lord willing, on Raising the Standard. We just thank the Lord for what he is doing in our county, in our city, in our state, under God. Our flag, under God, is our motto for Florida. We got to keep it that way.
Amen.
And we got to raise the standard in every single state, every single place. And we just give God the glory and praise. So God bless you all. Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
Amen.
We are
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.